Carmela, what is your favorite sparkling wine?
I like them all.
Well, have you ever heard of a sparkling wine called Cremant?
I don't think so.
Well, how about this? Let's learn about it and learn about why it's a sneaky good way to get champagne-quality wine on a beer budget.
You're so sneaky.
Okay, and we can taste a few as well. What do you say?
I'm in.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Hooray.
All right, so a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and we taste and we review three wines that are reasonably priced, which means
under $20.
That's right, and it should be easy for you to find, and our goal is, look, we want to have some fun, we want to learn about some new wines, and we want to talk about wines in a way that regular people like us can understand.
Perfect.
Okay? And we are proud to say that we are officially recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine. I said it with a British accent because it's British magazine.
It just came
and they
out
call
that
us
way.
Fun, irreverent, irreverent, chatty, and entertaining.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know why
chatty,
he's doing an accent.
For sure.
And all I'm going to say is it took us about 15 minutes to do that intro. And it's the worst intro I think we've ever done in our careers.
I don't know if it's the worst.
Okay.
You know, you put me on the spot like that.
I know. I put myself in the spot.
Jeez.
I know. Okay. So anyway, as we record this episode, we are heading into the very heart of holiday season. And if you associate a wine with the holidays, to me, that is what?
Sparkling, of course.
Sparkling wine. And we are.
By golly.
I know. We are big fans. By gum. We are big fans of sparkling wine. And in fact, we are believers that sparkling wine should be considered an everyday wine.
I agree. Yes, I do agree with you on that one.
Yeah, but we weren't always that way, were we?
No, I thought we had to have some special occasion or we had to be like celebrating some huge announcement.
Isn't that funny? It's always felt like, oh no, it's a celebration wine. Like it's for a wedding or it's for a party or it's for something. Yeah, but we have changed our minds on that one.
Yes, thankfully.
So growing up, when we started to drink too, you know, so we didn't
at
always
21.
Drink. But yes, when we started to drink, most of the times the sparkling wine that we drank was kind of crummy.
It was really not
very good.
It
was usually like Andre or Cook's or Asti Spumante or something, right?
You used to love the Asti Spumante.
I know, it's too sweet.
You surprised me with the Asti one day. I don't know what it was for.
Yeah, I don't know. But
it was very sweet.
But usually it was something kind of cheap.
Do they still have that stuff around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But you know, those wines are just not, I mean, my opinion, not very good. And it always made me go like, what's the big deal with sparkling wine?
Right. It's just not our preference either.
But they weren't very good. So was like, ooh, this is kind of crummy. Like,
well,
I don't
probably
really
some
want
people
this.
Who really love it.
Well, that's true. So I apologize to those of you out there in listening land who may really like Cook's or Andre or whatever.
We feel bad for you. No.
But the reason I really feel bad for them is because there's no reason to drink those cheap, crappy sparkling wines because you can find inexpensive sparkling wines out there that are really good, like Cava and Prosecco. And there's some domestic U.S. sparklers. And the one we're tasting today is a good example, too, called Cremant.
Oh.
And it's spelled Cremant, but I say Cremant because I'm trying to say it in the French way.
You're so like proper. Right. You're like, you know, you wouldn't say it the wrong way,
no,
would you?
No, never. I'd
Not
never
you.
Say Cremant as Cremant.
No.
Anyway, so in a bit, we're going to talk about what Cremant is. You can't say the T, but we're betting many of you out there in listening land don't really know what it is.
Hmm.
So here's a little hint. Cremant is a sparkling wine from France that is not champagne.
Nice.
And why is it not champagne, Carmelita?
Because it must not have been made in the Champagne region.
You're right.
Whoa.
Champagne is, it's not champagne because champagne is a specific sparkling wine from the Champagne region of France. So it's a mistake to call a sparkling wine a champagne if it's not from the Champagne region of France, right?
I think people are getting better about understanding the difference.
Like, a little bit.
You hear that more often, people referring to it as sparkling wine.
I agree. I think you are hearing that more.
People are
more
getting
and more.
It. So
yeah.
Good for you.
But, you know, there are, in fact, a lot of sparkling wines made in Europe that are named for the region they come from or from the style of sparkling wine there. So, like, Cava is sparkling wine from Spain. It actually can be from almost anywhere in Spain, but is made in the Champagne style or Champagne method.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I will say overall, sparkling wine is a little bit tricky, I think, for a lot of people, because there are tons of styles and there are tons of regions. And like rosé wine, sparkling wine is a style. It's not a varietal. It's not. Right. So every time you get a champagne or a sparkling wine, you're not getting the same thing. You're not getting the same grapes because it's a blend of different grapes, depending on who's making it, where it's from, all that fun stuff. Mm. And so this is part of the fun of it, but it's also part of the challenge of it, because it's like, you may not always, it's not like, hey, this is a Cabernet. It's like, it's different. It can be different every time. So another thing that can make sparkling wine kind of tricky is knowing if it's sweet or dry, right?
Right.
Because why?
Because there's the whole thing about brut and dry.
Right. And dry in sparkling means
sweet.
And brut means
dry.
Yeah. So it's very confusion. I get confusion. It's very confusion. And I get confusion on that quite a bit. Like,
wow.
I sometimes I'll be looking, oh, it says extra dry. I'm like, oh, a dry. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. That means sweet. Oh,
God. And we don't want that.
So they're just trying to confuse us.
Yeah.
They're trying to make us crazy.
They're going after you. They're like, ooh.
But I think that's going to be kind of a theme of this episode, is that we're trying to unconfuse this confusing category of sparkling wines.
And so we don't have any more confusion.
That's right. And then we wanted to do, we're going to do some of that in this episode, and we're going to do a few episodes on sparkling wine this holiday season. And we've done some sparkling wine episodes prior to this too, because one, sparkling wine is awesome.
So fun.
And two, there's a ton to learn about sparkling wine because of all the styles and all that
kind of stuff. And because it's something you can drink daily.
That's right.
You should have lots of options.
Hourly.
Wow.
For breakfast.
Whoa.
Put it on your cornflakes. Why not?
No, mimosas.
Okay. That's right.
There are plenty.
You're right. Mimosas.
Right. Plenty of drinks that you have with sparkling that are before noon.
That's right. You're right. You are correct. Yeah. Okay. So, and for a reference, a few episodes that we've done that cover sparkling wine. Episode 5, we covered sparkling wine in a can. That was a very early one for us. Episode 9 from last year's holidays, where we talked about Cava, which is an awesome Spanish sparkling wine that we think you should really try if you haven't yet. Episode 34, where we talked about American sparkling wines. And then a few weeks ago, I did an interview with Fiona Perrin of Rendezvous Champagne. Mm-hmm. And so lots of good information just about making champagne in that one. And so I say we get to it. We talk about this awesome French sparkling wine that all of you out there in listening land should know, called Cremant. But first, Carmela,
you must do your shameless plug.
That's right. So if you are enjoying our show so far, and frankly, who wouldn't enjoy the show?
I am enjoying it.
I am.
Fully.
And we're going to enjoy it more about three drinks in when we're woohoo!
Right.
So we think you should subscribe if you're enjoying it.
And raise a glass with us.
And raise a glass with us. Yeah, that's right. And also, especially if you've had a few to drink, leave us a rating and review, because probably you'll give us 5 stars.
True.
And then people will go, hey, this is a really fun and cool podcast.
Now, will there be a disclaimer on that? Like, I was 3 drinks in when I gave them a 5.
You can. You can put that in your review on Apple Podcasts. You can say, I love this podcast, but I was drunk saying this, writing this, saying and writing.
As long as it's 5-star, we don't care.
That's right. And you can follow us or reach out to us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast, or on Counter Social, which is our Twitter alternative or of choice. Or you can go to our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can contact us. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we think you should tell anyone who calls any sparkling wine champagne.
I
think you should do that, right? Because I've gotten to the point now where I actually am such a dork that I have to ask people when they say, do you want some champagne? I have to say, what are you talking about?
Oh, just to be a jerk.
Just to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Just to be a total
just
ass.
Ghost with
are you, and then it. And then say, well, you know, if it's not for champagne, it's not champagne.
Well, you get irritated by things like that.
I'm a terrible person.
Like, no.
I am a terrible, terrible person.
No, but you just...
When it comes right down to it, I'm a bad guy.
Okay, I won't argue.
All right. So
you win.
You're right. So let's go to Cremant, and why Cremant is different from champagne. Even similar, too. Similar and different from champagne. So Cremant, or Cremant, it really is a thing, and it's different from champagne. And I found this great article on the interwebs from something called Savage Wines, and I have a link to it in our show notes.
Wow.
So you just have to go to our to this episode, look at the show notes, click on the link, and you can read it too. And then you'll be as smart as me, huh?
Oh,
and it talks about some fun facts about Cremant. Are you ready for fun facts?
Fun facts. Yep.
Okay.
Bring it on.
So first of all, Cremant is a French sparkling wine, mostly French, sparkling wine that is made outside of the region of Champagne in France, but it is made in the same style as champagne.
Fancy.
And in order to have the designation in France of Cremant, there are specific rules.
Okay.
So it's not just any a-hole can walk around and say, I'm a criminal.
I'm a criminal.
You can't do that. So,
that's funny. Okay.
Yeah. And there are also other French sparkling wines that are neither criminal nor champagne. I had to use the nor. Nor champagne. So it's not true that all French sparkling wines made outside of champagne are criminal. Again, they're just trying to confuse us.
Oh my. So many rules.
I know, so many rules. Hi. So here's some more facts. Ready for some more facts?
I'm ready. God, okay. I'm still trying to process that first fun fact.
Okay, then it wasn't very fun if you have to process it. Okay, so there are 8 regions in France where Cremant is made, including 3 that we're going to try today. We have one from Burgundy, which is also known as Bourgogne, Bordeaux, and Alsace. Uh-huh. But some other regions are like Limoux and Loire. And in fact, Loire is the largest maker of French sparkling wine outside of Champagne. Mm. And another fun fact. Ready for another fun fact?
Yes.
There are actually 2 Cremant designations outside of France.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's one in Belgium and one in Luxembourg. Ah. So Cremant is actually a legal designation that the whatever the wine police use.
My God.
And in the EU. So it's an EU thing. But I have seen, so at the same time that sometimes you actually still see, because they were grandfathered in, some sparkling wines in the United States called Champagne. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they got away with it. I've actually seen sparkling wines in the U.S. called Cremant, and I think they're cheating. They shouldn't do that.
Wow.
They really shouldn't do it. Okay.
Trouble. Big, bad trouble.
Another fun fact. We're going to find out a little bit more about...
I'm glad I haven't started drinking yet, because I would not be able to keep any of this
under
straight.
The table. Okay. So Cremant, again, is made in the traditional method, which means the same way that Champagne is made. And in this method, there is a second fermentation that takes place in the bottle. And this is what gives Cremant its creamy, rich, and bubbly texture.
Oh.
So I'm going to ask you to guess, make a guess. What do you think Cremant means?
Cremant means cream.
You're right.
No,
it means creamy.
Really?
You are so good.
So smart.
Okay, so
he had a card up. He was like,
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
She's so smart.
He's got. What
she knows
what
she did. She read my mind. Yeah. She was like,
no, what is that? You know,
ESPN. She has ESPN.
No, when people lift up the card,
a cue card.
A cue card.
I had a cue card, but I didn't have a cue card. Okay, another nerdy side note, Carmela, though. Originally, Cremant was a term used in the Champagne region for sparkling wines that were slightly lower in carbon dioxide, which is really where the term creamy came from. So initially, it was wines made in the Champagne region that were called Cremant.
Oh my gosh.
And then, so, I don't know, the EU and France, they started cracking down on people using the name Champagne outside of the Champagne area. And so one of the things I guess they did is they said, hey, we're going to give an official designation to Cremant as a sparkling wine outside of the Champagne region.
So they're like second best.
They're like second best.
They're like, well, you know what? You can't be Champagne, but you can be Cremant.
How's that? Yeah, exactly. Well, you can't be point guard, but you can ride the bench.
Right.
You can be on varsity, but you'll never play.
Hey,
yeah, exactly.
We're not going to equate being on the bench to Cremant, okay?
Why?
Because I think that's lame. Who wants to be on the bench? We don't want to put Cremant on the bench.
Okay,
don't put baby in the corner.
No, but hold on a minute. I would do anything to be a professional basketball player who has a 10-year career and actually just has to sit on the bench.
That's different.
That would be awesome.
I'm talking high basketball.
I would have been happy to be on the bench because I was so bad at basketball, I wouldn't have made it to the bench.
Oh, I don't believe that.
So making it to the bench would have been
awesome.
You're
pretty good at like horse.
Okay, not junior high. High school. Junior
horse
high.
And pig.
Junior high, we had like 8 guys on the basketball team. So you had to, you know, like every once in a while they had to put me in.
When there's only 20 boys in your whole class or 10?
Yeah. Anyway, there were more than that.
Okay.
Like 15. Okay. So anyway, I'm ready for more fun facts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So another difference between Champagne and Cremant is that Champagne is very strict in terms of what grapes can be used.
Mm.
So typically it's a blend of Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier. I don't know how to say Meunier. Meunier.
I
always say manure, but it's Meunier. But in Cremant, depending on the region, you can have a totally wide variety of grapes. So you can have some of those grapes, but I won't even go into the number of grapes you can have because you think you've got a headache.
Mind
now,
blown.
Just wait. Yeah, exactly. But let's just say that what makes sparkling wines unique, again, very often, is that they are blends of different grapes. And in fact, they are often blended. Sparkling wines are often blended from wines from previous years.
Oh.
of the same, right?
Weird. Why? Champagne, how do they decide?
This. Well, the,
you've been on the shelf. You've been on the bench for a while. You've been, and then you.
No. So this is what they do, because part of the whole dosage is mixing with sparkling wine. But it's in fact why most sparkling wines don't have a date on them. They're NV or non-vintage, mm-hmm. and even champagnes are often non-vintage because they will mix sometimes. So actually, if you see a vintage champagne or a vintage sparkling wine, mm-hmm. it usually means it's a really good year, because they're like, we're not mixing it with anything else. It's so good. Mm. We're just going to do that. So that's more fun facts for you.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So here's some things that make Cremant particularly awesome. One is there's lots of variety depending on the region and the grapes used. Number two, it's made in the traditional champagne style, so the quality is usually very good. And unlike champagne, which can be ass expensive, mm-hmm. Cremant is usually very reasonably priced. And that's why we're talking about it in our podcast.
I love it.
Yeah, because most of the time, French sparkling wine, that champagne, it wouldn't make it.
Mm.
It wouldn't make it.
Right,
so,
right.
French sparkling wine that's inexpensive and champagne quality, like, yes.
Woo, you're tapping into something wonderful.
So many of you may be wondering where the best Cremant comes from. And when I say many of you, I mean Carmela.
Right. I can't wait to find out.
But it's hard to say. And in fact, that's why we chose today three different Cremant wines from three different regions, because I wanted to see what the differences are. And we also chose three different styles. One is a Blanc de Blanc, mm-hmm. which means only made from grapes that make white wine. One is a sparkling rosé, which again is the style, not a set of grapes. So I think it's going to be really interesting to try these different Cremant and see what the differences are, and what do we think, and is there one we like better than another?
I love it. I'm so excited.
I know. I am excited too. So should we do it?
I think so. I'm
no,
ready.
We have to wait a minute.
Holy cow.
We have to talk about the Cremant sparkling wines that we chose for this episode.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all of these Cremants are at least somewhat easy to find, because we bought them all on wine.com.
Okay.
So I know for sure you can get them on wine.com, because that's where I got them. And all of them are under $20. Again, that's part of the MO of this podcast. And as an extra bonus, all of these Cremant wines had a rating of at least 89 from some reviewer.
Oh, okay.
So they should be, you know, somebody thought they were good enough to give them a rating.
We'll find out who, right?
Yeah. And I'll say who they are. And you can't always trust reviewers, like you can't always trust us.
True.
But hopefully what you can do is you get at some sort of like level of quality, and then you can start judging if you like them versus what you like, right? Which we're hoping that you do with this podcast, which is like, hey, I agree with Joe and Carmela, or I agree with Joe, or I agree with Carmela, or I disagree with both of them all the time.
Right, right.
Like, and they said, don't buy that wine, I'm buying that wine.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
Maybe you've figured that out, like whether or not your tastes align with us, or if you think we're way off.
Yeah, or losers.
Wow.
If you think we're losers.
Okay, it wasn't going to go. Again, back on the bench.
Okay, I'm back on the bench, man. Okay, so the first Cremant is from Burgundy, which is, of course, famous for what, Carmela?
For Pinot Noir.
You're right. And something else, too, a white wine that I don't always love.
Ooh, Chardonnay.
Yeah, Chardonnay is from Bourgogne. Right. And so this sucker has a real long name. It's called André Delorme Cremant de Bourgogne Blanc de Blanc Brut Reserve.
What?
And then Bourgogne, if you see that, B-O-U-R-G-O-G-N-E, that's the French word for Burgundy.
Okay.
That's right.
So, I know, you said that earlier.
Yeah. And again, Blanc de Blanc means that all of the grapes in the wine are white wine grapes. And this one was a little bit hard to find information about because it seemed like there were like different versions and people were saying different kinds of grapes. But I know at least one of the grapes in there is Chardonnay. And I think another wine grape in there is called Aligoté. But I don't know. So this is how André Delorme describe, and that's the Italian way of saying it. I'm not sure if that's right. It might be Delemer. Anyway, describes how their wine is made. When the harvests arrive. Oh, I should say in a French accent. When the harvests arrive,
we press
the grapes slowly using our pneumatic wine presses.
Only the first
presses are used to produce our wine. Malolactic fermentation takes place in our 100% stainless steel vats.
God.
Secondary fermentation in the bottle, according to the traditional method, is carried out by adding yeast and sugar. This is followed by 18 months of aging on lees and our temperature-controlled cellars.
Okay, let's not encourage this.
Okay, but two vocabulary words in there that I think would be helpful to know. Versus malolactic fermentation, which we've talked about in several previous episodes. It's a process where lactic bacteria is added to the wine to mellow out some of the acidity and make it creamier.
Hmm.
And then the lees, you'll often hear about the lees when you talk about sparkling wine. The lees are leftover yeast particles, and the lees are used in white and sparkling wines to add textures and flavors. So sometimes they want them on the lees for a while. You think, oh no, get that crap off of there. But they actually leave them on the lees because it gives them some additional flavors and taste. So because this is a wine made with Chardonnay, I expect it to have some similarities to Champagne. And the rater, the reviewer of this one gave this, it's Wilfred Wong from wine.com, and he gave it an 89.
Okay.
The second wine, another long name, but not quite as long, is Joseph Catin Cremant d'Alsace Brut. Okay. So Alsace is in the northern part of France near Germany, and it's well known for like German-style wines like Rieslings and some Pinot Noir and some other things. And so this Cremant is a blend of Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Riesling, and Chardonnay. So pretty different mix, which will be really interesting. And I don't, it didn't say like, oh, it's 10% of this and 30%. It didn't say. So I don't know. And it maybe it changes every year. Isn't like maybe they just change it around. And this one got a 91 rating from Wine Enthusiast. So I'm excited for that. And then the final Cremant we're going to try is called Caldette Cremant de Bordeaux Brut Rosé.
Wow.
So not only is this a wine from Bordeaux, but it's also a rosé.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah. And a rosé, again, is not a varietal. It's a style. And it's where the grape juice is kept in contact with the dark grape skins for no more than 24 hours. Can't be more.
Crazy.
Can't be more than 24 hours.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway.
Somebody's got to stay up all night.
I know. And be like, hey, don't fall asleep.
Oh, God.
too much skin.
Yeah, exactly.
Ew. Okay. So this one is interesting because it's 90% Cabernet Franc. I said Franc last week. It's Franc. And 10% Merlot. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So two red wine grapes. Two red wine grapes in this one.
Again.
You know, you don't think that because you're like, oh, well, wouldn't that be a red? And, oh, it's rosé. It must have mixed in some. No, it's just the grape skins, right? It's just the grape skins. So, and this one also got an 89 from Wilfred Wong. And they also manually harvest their grapes in small boxes. And they do fermentation and a second fermentation in the bottles for 9 months before disgorging and dosage.
Whoa.
Right? So disgorging means, hey, they bottle cap the bottles and then before they're going to like finally cork them, they disgorge them, they let some of it out, and then they do dosage. Right. Dosage is another good vocabulary word. It's the term for the sugar or sweet wine or other sparkling wine that is added to a sparkling wine before they cork it. So in Brut, they add very little sugar or very little sweet wine, and in Extra Brut or Brut Nature, they don't add any. So there you go. Bunch of fun facts. It's a lot of fun facts.
So much information.
That's a lot. Like, I'm tired now.
My head's spinning. And I haven't had, again, not a drink yet.
Yeah.
Head is spinning.
I know. So a lot of this information is in our show notes. If you go to this episode on our website and check out this episode and look for the links and all that kind of stuff, you'll find it there. But I think enough with this jibber jabber. I think it's time to try a sparkling wine.
Oh, my God. Thankfully. And it's Wednesday, by the way,
for us. Why are you telling everybody
Because I'm just saying we're having sparkling on a Wednesday.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Because it's an everyday wine.
That's the only
wine.
Reason I thought. And it's 10 a.m.
No, it's 9 a.m. No, it's not. I don't know what time it is. What time is it?
It's dinner time.
I don't know. Okay.
It's happy hour.
Woohoo! Okay. Woo. Well, let's take a break and we're going to try our first Cremant.
Perfect.
Okay, we are back, and we are so ready to try our first Cremant. Woo! Are you ready? Okay, so this is the... All right, I didn't let you answer, as usual.
I was like, trying to get it out, but you moved on. But right. Yes, I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Here, let's go. This is the André Delorme, I don't know how to say it, Cremant de Bourgogne Blanc de Blanc Brut Reserve.
Oh,
this is from Burgundy, right? France, Burgundy. The producer is André Delorme. It's a non-vintage. This was only $10.99. So come on, people. Don't buy the Cooks or the André or whatever. Buy this.
Come on.
Wine.com will tell you if you should buy it. 11.5% alcohol, so it's not a lot.
Mm-mm.
And again, I think it's made with Chardonnay and maybe Aligoté. Some were saying Pinot Noir, but it can't be because this is a Blanc de Blanc, so they can't have a red wine grape in there. And again, Wilfred Wong from wine.com gave it
Willie
gave it a, not Sucky James, but Willie gave it an 89. So what are you smelling?
Look, do people smell sparkling wines?
I smell sparkling wines.
Yeah, I guess I am now, but it feels a little weird. Like, you don't notice people like putting their nose into their champagne flute.
Until their nose comes out wet. Okay, so what are you smelling though?
It's fresh.
Okay, I'm going to just say, I got immediately off the bat, got spice, like ginger, ginger or something like that. And I'm actually kind of smelling a little bit of apple cider, like that cidery, cinnamon cidery, but I'm getting baking spices.
Okay, but like a Martinelli's or like a unfiltered
there's some
apple?
There's some sweetness to it for sure, but actually it's got that ginger. So it's got a little bit of that bite to it, I feel like. I got a nice spicy smell. I didn't get, so this is one of the champagne or sparkling wine smells like toast or yeast.
I didn't get a lot of that. And that's really something that typically comes through for me. I feel like I'm smelling some like melon.
Okay, what kind of melon? Like a
honeydew melon, maybe.
I got that. I can get that. Sure.
Even like a bit of like vanilla or something. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely getting like baking spices on it. So, or and I know that's not a spice technically, but it's like
it's
a baking, but it's something in
baking ingredient.
Baking ingredient. Mm-hmm. Should we try it?
Let's.
I say we try it.
It's very apple-y.
It's very apple-y, but spicy.
It is spicy.
It's kind of got, I'm getting that ginger and cinnamon on it. Don't you think it's like
an
apple cider?
Yeah, it is, but I'm getting apple for sure.
And it's dry. Like my tongue, my tongue is dry.
This is what I like.
Yeah. It tastes, and the funny thing is it's a brut, but it, like this is very typical, I think, of sparkling wines very often, is that they taste sweet, but they're not, this is not a sweet sparkling wine in that it dries off. Like it moves away from the sweetness.
And you don't tire of it. Some of those ones that we used to drink, cheers.
Ding.
Those were too sweet. Taste it and you go, wow, this is so good. But by the third swallow, you were
ready. You're done.
You're done. It's like too much dessert.
I think this is, so what do you taste? I mean, what anything else you're tasting in it?
Well, I'm getting apple, but I'm getting a little touch of melon for some reason.
Okay.
Or something.
I'm not getting that as much, but it might just not be in my head right now.
Huh.
I'm not getting a lot of, I'm getting a little tiny bit of like bun, like muffin, or not muffin, but like brioche. Like there's a little tiny bit of bread on it, like a fresh baked bread, but it's really slight. Like it's
really fresh.
I'm really feeling like more like a croissant with some fruit, and like a, you know,
if you
had an
like
apple
take
croissant,
a little trip to France.
I'm not
your
saying
brain.
Tease anymore. Croissant, crémant.
My goodness.
Anyway, what food would you pair with this crémant?
Ooh, this, well, I'm always, you know, I know that we have sparkling like morning, noon, and night, and, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and first, second, and third course. Like you can have it all the time.
You can.
But I do find that this would be a great like appetizer wine with like cheese and like a charcuterie. I could even do like a puff pastry.
Ooh, yeah.
With it.
I think
like
it'd be good with something
puff
like that.
Pastry. Or even like, kind of thinking of the holidays too, like little appetizers with jams in it would be good, you know, like
right.
a little puff pastry with brie and jam. This would be really nice with it. It would cut through that those sugars too.
I think you're right. It's interesting because you're going for the sweeter, or not the sweeter, but the like lighter kind of stuff. I'm thinking really good with spicy food. I think this is go really well with spicy food. I actually think like we're getting close to Thanksgiving as we record this. I kind of feel like it'd be a really good like Thanksgiving dinner wine. I think sometimes, you know, and I'm not, this is not about you. I do think though, a lot of times we think of sparkling wine as kind of like a before meal wine, but I think that's also a mistake. Like sparkling wine you can drink before or during, or even at the end of the meal.
I just said that.
Okay. So,
I said
but this one, I feel like you could have like with a Thanksgiving dinner, I think it would hold up really nicely.
Yeah.
So I think it would help cut through like things like butter and gravy, and I think it would do really well and like really nice with like a spicy dressing. So like dressing, I mean
dressing.
Like, you know,
like on salad.
No.
What? Like stuffing?
Stuffing.
Wow. You say dressing?
No, I don't know why I said that.
It's so funny because everybody keeps, that's the big question this year.
Is it dressing like or stuffing?
Yeah,
am I like dressing or am I stuffing?
What are you?
I look like I'm stuffed, but
no.
I am dressed.
No, not you in particular.
Oh, not me personally.
But yes, you are dressed. I mean,
I thought you were going to say look stuffed.
No, but
this
I mean,
this is what our relationship's like.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen.
What I'm saying is that No, I don't. But I think that we both say stuffing, but you just pulled like I just pulled dressing out of somewhere. And then I was like, salad dressing?
I don't know. No, I know. I screwed you up, okay?
Okay.
I was just testing you. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, let's rate this sucker. Mm. Okay, so a reminder on our rating scale. We rate on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm reading this, right? 1 to 10, where, and you can't do halvesies. No halvesies. Uh-huh. A 7 and above means, hey, I'm going to buy it. And a 4 below means, hey, I'm not going to buy it. And in between, it's like, you know what? I'll probably drink it, but I might look for something different. So what rating would you give this wine, Cremanto?
Cremanto. That's the Italian way of saying it. Okay, so I'm like you always say, I reserve the right to change my score.
I agree.
So I'm going to give it a 7.
I knew you were going to do that because I'm going to do the same thing. Okay. And I also reserve the right. But first of all, this is what I say. It's $10.99.
Right.
Buy this thing all day.
It should just be a 10 because of that price.
Yeah, the price is like unbelievable. And again, if you're going to spend $6 on a crappy Cook's, spend $10 or $11 on a really nice Cremant.
Oh my God. Really nice. For sure. Don't even bring a Cook's anywhere.
No, don't bring. And like, this is it's a pretty bottle.
Mr. Cook.
No, it's a pretty bottle. It would be a nice gift. It would be nice to bring to a dinner.
Right.
Be nice to bring
and
to a party.
And it wouldn't have the word Cook's on it.
No. And it also, it's French. Oh, and then you could be like, oh, yeah, but it's not a champagne. They'll be like, what are you talking about? And you can say, well, it's Cremant. It's technically made in the champagne style, but it's not from Champagne.
But it has its own, like, you know.
Designation exactly. From the European Union.
And you know, there's one in Luxembourg. Like, hey, do you want some fun facts?
Yeah. And then listen to the GD podcast then, because I can't remember them all. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I'm the same as you. I'm giving it a 7. I really like it. Yes. I might go higher, but it's a nice, it's a really solid sparkling wine. You serve this at a party
or
a dinner, people will love it.
Yeah.
They will love it. It's one of those where people go, oh my God, where'd you get that? Can I get more?
Yeah, I think so too.
It's great. Mm. Okay. Well, we're going to take another break and we're going to try our next sparkling Cremant.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we're ready to try our next wine. And just before we get started, I will say a little bit. We were talking about,
I just said, when did people stop? Or maybe the question is, do people still open sparkling and champagne wines?
Corks
with their thumbs anymore? How you pop them off and you're like, you know.
First of all, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, and you don't need to do that. And now the big thing is like, everybody's like sabers. You know, they're taking these stupid swords or knives and they're like trying to knock off the top. Like, stop. Stop, people.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the deal. What I learned recently is don't twist the cork. Hold the cork and twist the bottle. And move the bottle. It's actually much easier that way to do.
But it's so funny. All of a sudden, it was like somebody realized, I can actually just twist this off.
Yeah.
Because it was always like,
don't twist the cork, twist the bottle.
Right. You'd have to go out in your backyard to open it.
Yeah.
People got tired of losing
eyeballs.
And it'd
take about 20 minutes. Oh, I'm having trouble.
You're like nervous.
It.
You didn't want to actually. Yeah. And then, like I said, somebody would lose an eye or.
Nobody lost an eye.
Or a window.
Or an eye window. Yes. Okay. Here we go. So this is Joseph Catin, Cattin, Cremant de Alsace Brut. And so this is from France, but it's from the Alsace region, which again is near Germany. The producer is Joseph Cattin. This is again a non-vintage. This is a whole $18.99. So it's on the higher end. It's a little more expensive. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if it's worth it. Again, I got this at wine.com. It's 13% alcohol, so it's more alcohol. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, some blend of Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, which is the same as Pinot Grigio, Riesling, and Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. And this one got a 91 rating from Wine and the Enthusiast. So what are you smelling, Carmela?
Okay, can we also take notice of the fact that you chose these wine glasses?
Yeah, so I used a coupe wine glass, which is kind of a martini-looking wine glass, rather than a...
Are they for sparkling or just for fancy drinks?
They're for fancy drinks, but they are a classic, like, sparkling wine. They're just very dangerous.
And they're basically for, like, people who can walk on a balance beam.
Yeah, well, no, but you know when you see those champagne, like, towers or whatever? They always use these kinds of glasses.
Yeah, they're very pretty,
they're
just dangerous.
I love them.
I don't know how you go to a party and drink out of these and walk and talk.
Not if you're drunk. You can't do it.
It's a pain.
Can we talk about what we're smelling? Yes. What are you smelling?
Okay, so it's very different from the other one.
Yes.
I'm getting more of that, like the yeast or toast.
Totally. Right off the bat, I got yeast, which is actually a smell of a quality champagne or sparkling wine usually is... Mm-hmm. That yeasty smell. I totally got that smell right off the bat.
Yes, definitely less fruit on this one.
I'm getting almost a little citrus on it.
Okay.
But I am getting like apple-y, that kind of apple-y smell.
What kind of citrus? Are you getting like orange, almost lemon,
orangey,
lime?
Yeah. Almost kinda, orangey citrus. It's kinda, not a super sharp like lime
right.
citrus. It's more of a lighter like, yeah, like orangey citrus. Right.
It'll be interesting if there's as much like acidity on this.
Okay, I'm trying to like, I want to spin it, but I can't because it's going to flop
It's like
right
a hot tub.
It is.
You just like jump in hot it. Tub.
I wish I could. Okay, let's taste it because okay. We're not getting a ton of smells on it.
Okay.
But it smells great though.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
Super dry.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Ooh, wow.
Oh, that's good. It's definitely similar.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeasty. I'd say it's like has some similar. I'm getting apple. Definitely apple. Mm-hmm. Like a sweet, like a honey crisp kind of apple.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of sweet apple. Or you know what?
Smooth,
like,
though, too.
Yeah, you know those like Asian pears or the, you know, Japanese pears, the ones that are kind of like pear apples?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting. It's almost pear.
Pear-apple?
It's almost like pear-like.
Purple?
Yeah. Purple. I think it's more of a pear than an apple, almost.
Ooh, it's nice. And it is kind of tastes fancy in these it's fancy delicious. Glasses.
This is delicious. I'm getting citrus on it.
Yes, yeah.
It
not as spicy
so
as the other one.
No,
it's a little
not at all.
Smoother. Or like a, ooh,
God, this is good.
It's really a good one.
This one is really mm-hmm. damn good. God wow. darn it, it's good.
Wow.
This is really, this one is like definitely punching above its weight class. Like
I think so,
$18.99? Come on. This is a really good wine.
This is holy a special jamole. Wine. Like, this could be a really nice special occasion wine.
And again, it's kind of a pretty bottle. Don't you think it's kind of a pretty bottle? It's a little more understated
than
the
last one.
Yeah, but
kind of traditional.
Yeah.
Not like, it doesn't, nothing really, you know, unique.
No.
In the bottle. But that, again, nobody's pretty. Looking, nobody cares too much about the label.
No.
Except for us, for me.
But again, a great gift wine. I think if you gave this to somebody as a gift, I would insist, like, let's open it up and drink it because I want to enjoy this one with you.
Right.
not just put it in
but
your
But not
fridge.
In these glasses.
Okay, you're so anti-glasses.
No,
what is
I'm
wrong
sorry.
With it?
No,
I wear glasses.
I don't mind
Are
your glasses.
Are you anti-me? What is going on?
No, I'm glad you wear glasses. If you didn't have your glasses on, you couldn't drink out of this glass.
Says, okay, what would you eat with this vino?
Oh, God. What would you eat?
I mean, to me, this is a dinner. This is a before, after, whatever, dinner, wine,
right.
during. This is really good. Like, spicy foods, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this one could hold up to more complex foods. Like,
I agree.
I almost feel like you could, fried foods, you could have all sorts. I don't know. I would drink this and eat this with almost
you
anything.
You could have this with, like, a steak, I
think. I think you
like,
could
have,
at least
too.
With a roast.
Yeah, something.
Like, if you had a spicy roast or something, like a pork roast, you're
right.
like, whatever. You're like, I could... It's
not
so
that
good.
I'm going to be eating a steak.
Holy crap. But, this is so good.
No, but you could definitely have this with something rich.
Oh, who's rich?
Mm.
You mean Chris Hemsworth? Your
what?
Man crush?
How about how... I love the story about our daughter. Can I tell that story?
Sure.
So when she... when one day she said... No, it's terrible. I'm
Alex Baldwin?
No.
She did see Alex. I call them Alex.
No, I know. Why
she
no.
sat by Alex
Alec.
Alec Baldwin, last weekend in New York.
So we're going to... We're going to at him on our Instagram.
God, this is so good. Okay.
It's very good.
I can't believe you just started telling the Hemsworth story, Hemsworth, and then you stopped.
No, I wasn't going to tell a story about that, but I'm not going to tell the story I was going to say.
This is just dumb. People out there are like, why won't, now they're intrigued.
I don't
and it's
know.
Probably just a
Again,
dumb story.
You don't give me a script, so I'm going
just
off script.
Just give it and maybe I'll cut it out.
I'm going off script.
Okay, just say it and maybe I'll cut it out.
From a script I never even had.
Can you just say it?
Okay, so you might have to cut it out.
Okay.
Okay, so I was just going to say how one day when Mariana thought, you know, she had to marry Rich, she said, I'm going to, in front of her little brother and myself, she said, I'm going to marry Rich.
Yeah.
And she was like, so sure about it. I am going to marry Rich. And so little Mikey at the time was listening and she left and she came back and finally he put his hands on his hips and he said, okay, Mariana, who's Rich?
Yeah. Okay, what does this have to do with Chris Hemsworth? I thought this was a Chris Hemsworth story.
It's not. And
you let in right after Chris Hemsworth. I thought you were going to talk about, you know what? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's the deal.
After I talked about the story.
Here's the deal.
You just like
him. If she wants to, yes. And if she wants to marry, or Chris Hemsworth, if you want to marry my daughter, go right ahead.
You know what? You just segued into Chris Hemsworth because you wanted to bring him into the episode.
Okay. What are we going to rate this Cremant?
Okay, Cremant.
I'm going to give it a crisp.
Give it to me. What are you going to... Wow. That's like a 15.
I'll tell you what. Minimally, I'm giving this a 9. Okay. I might come back and give it a 10.
Okay.
It's so GD good. Oh, my God. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a... I'm going to give it a 9.
Oh, you were going to say 8. Now it's
going to go, I know.
What?
I know. Because I really... It's not like... I'm enjoying it, but...
Okay.
Ten,
you want your 10. Socks blown off.
Right.
Literally. Like blown off.
I know, that would be scary.
I wouldn't want my socks blown
off. No, I have really cold feet.
I know, because when your socks blow off, your feet go on mine, and then my head blows off. Okay, we're going to take a break.
That's too much information.
That is way too much. That's fine. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to call Chris Hemsworth, and we're going to clean out our glasses
and he won't answer.
Try our next wine. Okay. All right, we are back and we're ready to try our last wine. Now, this wine is really interesting. This is the rosé, but I think we both were like, it's not super pink. Like, it's not super dark.
In fact,
in the glass, and you can see it if you go to our Instagram, it almost doesn't look like a rosé. It's so light.
It's very light. It's like peach, but it's a light peach. Yeah. It's very pretty.
It is very pretty. And the bottle's pretty.
Yeah, it's a pretty bottle.
So I'm going to go through this. You ready? This is the Calvet Cremant de Bordeaux Brut Rosé. This is from France, from the Bordeaux region. The producer is Calvet. This is a 2019, so it actually has a vintage, which is not super common, right? Mm-hmm. So that must mean either this is what they typically do, like they don't mix from other vintages, or it was a really good year. I don't know. This was $16.99, so more than our first one, which was $10.99, but less than our last one, which was $18.99. Mm-hmm. Again, wine.com, this one's 12% alcohol, so it's kind of in between the two as well. Mm-hmm. And again, 90% Cabernet Franc and 10% Merlot. So really interesting. And again, Wilfred Wong from wine.com gave this an 89. Mm-hmm. So what are you smelling? We were just saying this, like when we were on break, like they all smell different.
Yeah.
It's different. Each one, which is, again, I think part of the fun of doing this is that they're Cremant, but they're all different because of the grapes they use and the regions they come from and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of fun about this.
Yeah, it keeps it interesting for sure. So it's actually a little more similar to the second one. There's a little more yeast on it still.
A little bit. But I'm smelling like, maybe it's because it's rosé, but I'm smelling like watermelon.
Oh.
And I'm smelling strawberry. I'm getting like rosé smells.
Red, like juicy fruits. Huh?
I am getting rosé smells. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned it like Capri Sun, because it almost smells like fruit juice.
Yeah,
it smells fruit juicy.
That's what I didn't say that, you know, initially, but yes, it even looks like Capri Sun. But then I was saying how, who really knows what Capri Sun color is, because it's in the silver bags. But then Joe said, well, you could just pour it out. And I said, well, then you got to get scissors and you got to cut it open. And then
so much of a hassle.
Yeah, but why it kind of looks like a Capri Sun. And it does kind of have that fruit smell on it, that lit like a really subtle.
Artificial?
No, but very subtle. Like a kind of a subtle. I think the watermelon is actually coming.
Watermelon and strawberry. That's what I'm getting. It smells like a watermelon, strawberry, Capri Sun with a little bit of kiwi.
Ooh.
Maybe. Wow. Okay, let's taste it. I'm tasting it. I don't want to wait.
Okay, go. Now you don't have the patience. Usually it's me.
I just love sparkling wine.
I mean, typically I'm more patient than you anyway, but when it comes to drinking
sparkling wine, forget it. I'm going to down that sucker.
Exactly.
Ooh, it's good.
It's nice.
Again, dry. You know, it's brut. It's dry. I'm getting definitely like watermelon. I'm getting a little...
There's a little more spice on this
one. There's some spice on it, but I don't know what the spice is. It's not like the first one. It's not a
baking
ginger.
Spice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like as smooth as the second one.
It's more bread. It's got more of a bread kind of taste to it.
Yes, yeah. It's almost like a traditional sparkling of a dry sparkling. Yeah.
And it's got like a watermelon candy kind of taste.
Like a Jolly Rancher?
Like a Jolly Rancher, like a watermelon Jolly Rancher. That's what I'm tasting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know.
I'm not as crazy about this one.
I agree. Watermelon. I'm getting a lot of watermelon.
Yeah, but it's just not as interesting or as complex.
Maybe it's got a little bit of peach on it too or something. Maybe I'm tasting a little peach, stone fruit on it. I think I might be. What food would you have with this?
I a lot of the same things. I think I associate sparklings with, again, like cheeses and cheese and like appetizers, like a heavy appetizer, like I said, a puff pastry, or, you know, even like a, something like spinach stuffed little puff pastries. Mm-hmm. So delicious.
This one to me feels more like a appetizer wine.
Like a happy hour?
Yeah, more like a before dinner wine. It doesn't feel like it has as much oomph, like it couldn't really maybe handle dinner unless you were having something really light, like a salad. Like
although I do think
a summer salad.
True. I do think though that this could be good with like a focaccia or like a pizza bianco, like a white sauce pizza, something like not a red sauce pizza.
No, not at all.
For sure.
No.
But something that is a little lighter and has that little bit of white sauce on it.
Yeah. You know what else? I agree. And you know what else I'm thinking? This is a summer sparkling. Ah, this is
refreshing.
By the beach, like at night, it's a warm night and you want something refreshing. I agree. Refreshing wine. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's nice. And like it's nice.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Pretty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you going to give it?
Well, rating? This is what I'm going to do. Mm. I'm giving it a 7 because I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. I definitely buy it. I'm going back and giving the first one an 8.
Whoa!
Because it was so good. Liked it. This one, I think it's good. I drink it. It's too bad because I think it's suffering because the last one was so good.
Yes.
Yeah. That I think it's kind of suffering from it. So I'm giving this one a 7. What would you give it?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of, the thing is that now, like you said, we've tasted two terrific sparklings. We drink a lot of sparkling. I have a lot of my favorites. So I'm kind of like, I don't want to like shoot too low, but I'm not sure I would buy it.
Okay.
I think I
want to give it a 6?
I think I might, but okay. I would definitely drink it. So yeah. I don't want anybody to think that it's not worth it.
So she's not bagging on it. So I think it's a good comparison because you're right. We have a lot of sparkling. We drink a lot of sparkling. We buy a lot of sparkling. All you're saying is there's other wines I'd buy first.
Yeah.
But if somebody served this to you, you'd be very happy.
Like the one before this could replace some of the ones that we already drink like regularly.
But I would just go back to the first one. It was $10.99.
Right.
Like, what? Buy it by the case and just drink it.
Oh, boy.
So good.
Here
anyway,
we go.
So which one of these would you finish tonight, Camelita?
Well, I'm thinking that we're both sort of leaning towards the second one.
Yeah, I definitely am.
I think that one has our names on it.
Yeah, I think I could drink any of them. Okay. I really do. So what do you think about Cremant in general?
Oh, it was such a hit. Such a hit. And just, you know, what do you need champagne for? Just go right for Cremant.
I mean, it's such a good option.
Right.
And again,
because of the price point.
The whole point here is like, how do you find, it's something, they're beautiful bottles. This bottle is beautiful pink, like super fun. You get the pop of the cork. You get the beautiful look on the table. You get the beautiful look in the glass. You get delicious taste.
Right. It screams celebration.
Yeah. And it's cheaper than a champagne. It's cheaper than a lot of domestic sparkling, like American sparkling wines.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
So it's a really, I'm super happy.
It's a great option.
Yeah. I think these are great. And I think you'd do fine if you bought any of these. So let's talk about the taste profiles expected from Cremant. So the André Delorme, the Cremant de Bourgogne, Blanc de Blanc Reserve, the first one. The winery says, the nose reveals notes of white flowers in the mouth, hints of peaches and pears. Hmm. And then Wilfred Wong said, aromas and flavors of apple, tart nectarine, and mineral notes.
Okay.
We got apples and pears, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the winery about the Cremant d'Alsace, the middle one. Okay. The wine has fine bubbles and offers fresh notes of green apple and white flowers. On the palate, it's dry, balanced fruitiness with green apple and lemon. Ripe apple with hints of shortbread on the nose. Palate adds notions of juicy, ripe, yellow plum. All is fruity but subtle. So we had, I think we were getting more citrus on it.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we say about it?
Apple, we had orange. We did pear on that one too.
So citrus.
And then of course... toast.
Yeah. You know, toast. And he said shortbread.
Mm. I know. Interesting. Yeah. I like actually that descriptor.
That's a good descriptor.
Yeah.
Because that is a good descriptor.
Right. Because it still has that, you know.
Breadiness.
Right.
But not bread.
But and a little, like a little more appealing of a way of.
And sweeter.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay.
And then the last one, the Calvet. So the winery says, elegant nose of raspberries and cassis. Very fine and persistent pinpoint bubbles that tease the mouth. And a lovely finish of crisp, round, fruity flavors. It's very general. Okay. Wilfred Wong said, aromas and flavors of tart red fruit are vibrant and lasting. I got watermelon.
You know.
And strawberry.
Yeah. Oh. Right. And kiwi.
Yeah. Hmm. So, I don't know. I think your taste is your taste.
Right.
Like what you like.
It is just like, yes, I'm enjoying this. I like this.
Yeah.
This is appealing to me. So, yeah, I think all three.
Yeah, I think if you like rosé, I think you'd like the sparkling rosé quite a bit.
Yes.
It's got very much a rosé flavor to it.
Very nice.
Okay, well, that was fun. That now was we're going to so have fun. To figure out which one we're going to drink tonight.
I know,
we're going to bring a couple to Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, which I'm super excited about. Okay, so we want to thank you so very much for listening to us. We are the Wine Pair Podcast. And while you're thinking about it, you might as well subscribe because we're not going to stop bugging you about it. So you might as well do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to hear from you, so you can reach out to us on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. And really, you can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. We would love to chat. You can follow us on Instagram and our Twitter alternative of choice, Counter Social, and you can DM us and just reach out to us and tell your friends and your family and your loved ones and your mom and your dad and your dog and your cat and your mouse and whatever. Tell them all.
Oh my God, a mouse?
Yeah, some people have mices. Okay, well, thank you for listening to the Wine Pair Podcast, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so it's not just stop drinking shitty wine. Drink more sparkling wine.
Woo!
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. How much you need?